Join with me in the prayer for illumination. O God, you have the power to make a desert a place of renewal and a cross a sign of redemption. Send your Holy Spirit so that we may hear and entrust ourselves completely to you for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today I'm going to try something a little different. I'm going to use an iPad instead of a real Bible, so we'll see if I can get the scriptural reading. And voila, it came up. We're going to read from Genesis 21, 8 through 21. The boy grew and stopped nursing. On the day he stopped nursing, Abraham prepared a huge banquet. Sarah saw Hagar's son laughing, the one Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham. So she said to Abraham, "Send this servant away with her son. This servant's son won't share the inheritance with my son Isaac." This upset Abraham terribly because the boy was his son. God said to Abraham, "Don't be upset about the boy and your servant. Do everything Sarah tells you to do because your descendants will be traced through Isaac. But I will make of your servant's son a great nation too, because he is also your descendant." Abraham got up early in the morning, took some bread and a flask of water, and gave it to Hagar. He put the boy on her shoulder sling and sent her away. She left and wandered through the desert near Beersheba. Finally, the water in the flask ran out. She put the boy down under one of the desert shrubs. She walked away from him about as far as a bow shot and sat down, telling herself, "I can't bear to see the boy die." She sat at a distance, cried out in grief, and wept. God heard the boy's cries, and the God's messenger called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "Hagar, what's wrong? Don't be afraid. God has heard the boy's cries over there. Get up, quick, pick up the boy, and take him by the hand, because I will make of him a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw well. She went over, filled the water flask, and gave the boy a drink. God remained with the boy. He grew up in the desert and became an expert archer. He lived in the Paran desert, and his mother found him an Egyptian wife. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I was just a bit nervous when my sister said, "We'll see what scripture passage comes up," because I had a message prepared for this one, but I've played Stump the Pastor before, but not on the sermon. So thank you so much. I'm glad it worked out. Thankful that that was the scripture passage, and thankful that we can be together to share in God's grace that is already filling each and every one of us. Join with me in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for your word. And your word today speaks of faith in difficult times. It also speaks of faith, not fear. Help us. Help us to grow in our faith and not be fearful. As your people, we pray in the name of Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. Big brothers have a gift of being able to get you in situations that you're not sure about. I had a big brother, and as I was growing up, he was always willing to kind of experiment on me, or with me in particular situations. But we were at a carnival in Springdale Volunteer Firemen's Carnival, and it's where they come in and set up all these rides, you know, and then they tear it down and they move on to the next town. And if I knew then what I know now about how they set up those rides, I would have been even more fearful of getting on one. But this particular ride was the one where you stand, and you're standing there, okay, and it starts spinning around, and all of a sudden it goes up on its side. And it does, you don't think that you're going to be pushed up against the wall. You don't think that you're going to stay there. You think that you're just going to fly out into some wild orbit, into the night. And I was looking at that and looking at that. My brother kept saying, come on, Neil. Come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. Neil, I'll get you some cotton candy if you do it. And I said, Joe, but what if I get sick and, you know, it's going to be a mess? He said, I'll still get you cotton candies. I got on it, and it did kind of push me against the side, and it actually became one of my favorite rides. I was never sure, though, at that one point, whenever it's starting to crank up, and it just kind of stops there. It's like you're shifting, and it just kind of shakes you down to your very core. But that's why whenever we're young, we do those things like that, and ride rides like that. Fear is something that, in many more serious and real situations, we need to overcome. There are situations and there are circumstances in which we feel queasy inside. Our insides start turning over and over. And I don't think physiologically they actually do that, but that's what it feels like. And that's when fear is creeping in. And as people of faith, it's going to happen that we will fear certain situations. No matter how great our faith, it's going to creep in at one point or another. The question is, will that be what defines us? Okay? Will that be what guides us? Will we live in ways of fear? Will we live in fearful manners? Will we live in fear of others? Will we live in fear of God even? Or will we respond in faith and be willing to try that ride, even though it looks kind of unsafe? Be willing to get on and trust in God's guidance in our journey. The scripture passage today is one that reminds us of fear and also faith. And it's a challenging passage. It truly is. Whenever we look through it, we are going to be challenged because of some of the attitudes that are conveyed within it. It starts out midway or partway through the 21st chapter. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. And so we have individuals, we have players within this great drama that exists. We have Abraham and Sarah and Isaac, their son, and we have Abraham and Hagar and Ishmael, their son. Now, the same father, two different wives, and also actually two different children. There's a dynamic there that is kind of creating attention. And what happens out of that is this. Sarah sees Hagar's son, and Sarah sees him playing with Isaac. And that's something that troubles her greatly. That's something that troubles her greatly because she's thinking this is actually Isaac's first son. This is actually his firstborn. So what's going to happen here? What's going to take place here? Is he going to get the blessing of the firstborn? Is he going to get a prominence in this family? All of these things are running through Sarah's mind, and she says to Hagar, you need to go ahead and send out to Abraham. She says to Abraham, you need to go ahead and send Hagar and her son out. You need to get rid of her. This is not going to work out. What happens is that although Abraham is challenged by this, he's hurt inside by this tension that exists. He also understands that there's some validity in this as well, in this request. In fact, God says to Abraham, do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named for you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is of your offspring. Being put in that position, the mind had to be racing for Abraham. He had to be wondering, what am I doing here? I'm sending this person who bore a child by me out into the wilderness. I'm making a decision here that others might see as unequal or unjust, but God is speaking into his heart and saying, do this. If you've ever had to make a difficult decision, if you have ever felt like your back was against the wall, and if you ever had to make one of those decisions that not everyone was going to be happy with, this is a scripture passage that will probably speak to you. Now, we understand that what happened before this scene comes up is that Sarah, the same Sarah who wants to send Hagar and Ishmael out, was the one that invited Abraham to go ahead and be with Hagar to produce a child. In other words, because Abraham and Sarah were of an old age, they thought that they would never be able to bear children together. Some of you remember this story because some of you have noticed that we've been having babies in this church, okay? And some of you of, let's say, a more senior age have wondered if it was something in the water. And whenever I even hinted at calling you Sarah, you said, no way, preacher! Back to the story, though. There is a dynamic here, you see, that has been growing in that we are going to go ahead and fix this situation, this problem, by trying to address something that God is already at work in. Okay? Whenever God is already at work in a situation, even if we don't see it, do we sometimes get impatient for God? I don't know if anybody else does, but I do. And I'll say, okay, God, now I'm ready. Let's do it. Now, God, hello, God, come on. And we get impatient. And we kind of get restless. And God's already at work. God's already at work in ways of grace and power beyond anything we can imagine. And yet we rush in and try to, quote unquote, fix the situation. And what happens sometimes? It makes a mess. Yeah. You can answer at this part of the sermon. You can go ahead and say, screws it up, whatever. Yeah, whatever. And those things kind of happen. It just kind of stirs the pot. Oh, boy, now what did I do? Okay. God does not stop working, even when we make a mess. Amen? We should all actually amen that one. God does not stop working even when we make a mess. Amen?
Amen?
Amen, children. You did good. You did good, kids. God, you see, already has something in mind. We can even imagine the mind of God. And is planning something. So what happens here? Certainly, God blesses as he said he would. Abraham and Sarah. Isaac is the focal point of next week's scripture, by the way. won't be preaching on that one, but Abraham and Sarah, and Isaac is this blessing and has been weaned, and there's this celebration. And in the meantime, Hagar and Ishmael are sent off into the wilderness. And it is a despondent time for them. And another time of fear. There was fear in Abraham's heart whenever he's making that decision. But he rises early in the morning, and he takes bread and a skin of water and gives it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. There's a little bit of a problem here, because earlier in Genesis, we understand that Ishmael is actually older, okay? So I'm not necessarily sure if he shrunk back to a smaller size or not. But nevertheless, they're heading out. That's the point, okay? That's the point of the scripture. They're heading out into the wilderness. When the water in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. And then this is profound. Then she went and sat down opposite him. Hagar sat down opposite Ishmael, a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, this is some of the most poignant words in all of Scripture, do not let me look on the death of the child. Right when it seems like all hope is gone, God is about ready to work. It's not that God wants to take us right to the edge, but sometimes life takes us to those moments, doesn't it? We're saying, okay, God, I'm hanging on by a thread. But I promise you this, okay? I need to say this. I promise you this. I will never say to you, I will never say these words, God never gives us more than we can handle. Some of the most hurtful words that can be said in a church, no question about it. When we're not exactly sure what to say, we kind of blurt those out, and that person hears them and says, you know what, I want to knock you right between the eyes or cup your ears. That was another thing my brother did to me, actually, whenever I was younger, but that's a whole other story. As she sat opposite him in this despair, in the wilderness, out in the desert, no water, no food, not sure how she was going to take care of her child, this one that she thought was a blessing from God, she lifted up her voice and wept. And right then, as those tears were washing her soul and preparing her, do you ever realize that? Tears actually wash our soul. Tears can actually prepare us for a blessing, a grace of God. And God heard the voice of the boy. By the way, Ishmael, that name means God hears. So just by his very name, we knew something was going to happen. No matter how dark it seemed, no matter how much fear was enveloping that family, we knew something was going to happen amazing. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what troubles you? And what do angels normally say? Do not be afraid. Go ahead and say that along with me. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. God's angels come. That time in the wilderness, that time whenever we feel like all is lost, when we are more fearful than anything else, do not be afraid. We don't even know how it's going to work out. I have no idea how I'm getting out of this mess. I have no idea how I'm dealing with this challenge. I'm afraid. I'm tired. Lord, help me. And the tears come, and God speaks. What's he say? Hold it. You forgot 5 minutes ago. What's he say? Do not be afraid. Yeah, absolutely. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness. He thrived in the wilderness. Sometimes that's where we grow also. Can you imagine anyone choosing to live in the desert? Can you imagine anyone at all? That's right. We're all in that group. Thrived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. Earlier, there was a play on words. She went down and sat the boy a good way off about the distance of a bow shot. Yeah. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. But as God is working, he also opens our eyes to be able to see his promise of grace in our midst. God says, do not be afraid. God is with us. There are things that we can remember from this scripture very clearly. We cannot limit God's mercy. God is unending in his mercy. God hears the cries of those who feel abandoned and alone. And God hears the cry of those who feel outcast and afraid. God saves. For us, what an assurance we have, knowing God personally through Jesus. Having that saving relationship, having that relationship of grace and unending love and surprising power to be able to count on. That even as we are sent out into the wilderness, even as we feel that all hope is lost, even as we feel that we can't care for those around us, even as we feel that our challenges are greater than God's love, even as we feel and fill in the blank, God speaks into our lives, don't be afraid, I am still at work. It was touching to me also to read that Hagar, even in this moment of great despair, is guided to go ahead and be with the boy, embrace him. And I think that's a key also for us as the church, that in our moments of despair, are we called to embrace one another? Yes. Are we called to remember that we're in this together? Are we called to remember that we're not alone on the journey, but that God loves all of us, and as his family, we are on this journey together? Yes, absolutely. So, the question out of this passage is, the question to reflect on is this. What are we fearful of in our lives? What are we afraid of? What is it that causes our stomachs to turn? Where are the places where we have felt in the wilderness and wondered if God was still hearing us, if God was still around, or maybe we're there right now? Any of that fear, lay it before God. Any of that worry, lay it before God. Understand from the story, God never stopped working, did he? God never stopped working. Even when people were screwing up the plan, messing it up, God never stops working in the lives of his children. And who are his children? Are you loved by God? Does God ever stop working in your life? Join with me in prayer and offer those things that you're fearful of to God. Lay them before God.